Good morning. We're bringing the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today's Tuesday, March 1st, 2022. The time is 9:03 a.m. Please silence all cell phones. Present today, Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Wilson, Senator Hoffman, and myself, Chair Senator Bishop. Thanks to Jake and Laura. Good morning. Oh, Allison, sorry. Hey, you got your mask off. I didn't know. Good morning. Today's agenda, extend the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. Second item is SJR 12, Social Security Benefit Reduction and Repeal. And first introduction is SB 224, funds subject to the CBR sweep provisions. Our first bill is the extension of the Alcohol Control Board. This is a second hearing. Our intention is to cover fiscal notes, look to the will of the committee. Mr. Jackson, if you come forward with your staff or whoever you need at the table, just do a brief reintroduction and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. For the record, my name is Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Matricki.
And for the record, Madison Govan, staff to Senate President Matricki.
The bill before you, the extension of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, is, as everyone at the table and in the room is familiar, is simply the extension of the board to give the legislature the opportunity to review the processes that the board is going through, make sure that they are acting in the public interest. You've all reviewed the audit done by our legislative audit, and their recommendation is the four-year extension. Mr. Chairman, there's really nothing else to say.
Thank you. Any questions from committee members? I'll cover the fiscal note, and that is to members and those listening at home, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, appropriation is to the Alcohol Marijuana Control Office, allocation is to the same office, OMB component number is 3119, it's $1,190,000 DGF funds through years 23, 24, 25, and 26. This extension is through June 30, 2026. Just a little more detail on the $1 million spend is that is for $752,000 for seven full-time positions. There's some miscellaneous funding for travel, commodities, and services. Any other questions on the fiscal note? Any committee discussion? Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate Bill 151, version A, from committee, with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Thank you. Seeing no objections, the bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease and sign the document. Record SJR 12, Social Security Benefit Reduction and Repeal. This is the second hearing of SJR 12. My intention is to cover fiscal notes and look to the will of the committee. Senator Wilikowski, a brief reintroduction, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This resolution would urge Congress to repeal the windfall elimination provision, also known as the WEP, and the government pension offset of the Social Security Act. This impacts approximately 16,000 Alaskans and costs each one of them up to, on the WEP side, $498 per month, which is nearly $6,000 per year. And I know of no opposition to the resolution, Mr. Chairman, at this point.
Thank you. And the WEP, for those listening at home, is that windfall elimination provision. I will say, Senator, that people do watch these committee hearings, believe it or not, and I had some people actually ask me that didn't know that this existed, so good job. All right. Would you, seeing no committee questions, would you cover the fiscal notes, Senator?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There is a fiscal note from, it's just a zero fiscal note. It's a resolution.
Thank you. Any further committee discussion? Senator Wilson.
I just want to say thank you for the bill's, for the resolution sponsor here. I did have a couple of phone calls this summer about this issue, and just want to say thank you for taking that proactive step.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to ask the prime sponsor, when does he plan to go back to Washington, D.C. to present the resolution?
As soon as it's passed.
Thank you. Seeing no further committee discussion, Senator Wilikowski, may I have a motion, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Joint Resolution 1232-LS0664/B, as in Bravo, from committee with the attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Thank you. Seeing no objection from the table, the bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the document. On the record, Senate Bill 224, funds subject to CBR sweep provisions. This is the first hearing for SB 224. My intention is to hear a bill introduction, take public testimony, and set the bill aside. Aaron Shines will come before the committee and present 224.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Aaron Shine, staff to co-chair Bishop and the Senate Finance Committee. So the bill before you, Senate Bill 224, moves the Alaska Marine Highway Fund and the Alaska Higher Education Investment Fund from the general fund to the treasury. It creates a definition for repayment of the constitutional budget reserve under Alaska Constitution Article 9, Section 17D. It repeals statutes defining which funds are available for appropriation that was ruled broadly unconstitutional in Hickel v. Cooper decision in 1994. And in addition, the application of the language in Senate Bill 224 makes the statutory budget reserve not sweepable. This was determined last year with practice, but this bill codifies that. We now have two Superior Court decisions that helped draft this bill proposal for your consideration. We had the Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund lawsuit, which was AFN v. Dunleavy. It ruled that PCE was not subject to the sweep because it failed the two-part test set out in Hickel v. Cooper. PCE is in a separate fund and not in the general fund. Further, footnote 77 gave us guidance as it outlined that the legislature has expressly created many funds and accounts in the general fund for various purposes, but it has also created separate funds outside the general fund, such as the SPR, which is included in the state treasury. The second Superior Court decision that we have is the Alaska Higher Education Investment Fund, which is short v. Dunleavy. While the Higher Education Investment Fund has been ruled to be sweepable, the Superior Court also expressly states that the legislature possesses the power to establish funds as separate funds outside the general fund, and that's exactly what Senate Bill 224 attempts to accomplish. So why these two accounts? Mostly it's for stability. This helps give the system stability over fiscal years for the Alaska Marine Highway Fund. The fare box is deposited in each year to this account and for future fiscal years. And for the Higher Education Investment Fund, it also gives stability for Alaska Performance Scholarship recipients and WAMI students. This bill does not create dedicated funds, and the legislature still maintains the power to appropriate funds from these accounts for any purpose. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to take questions, or I'm happy to walk through a sectional analysis.
And I'd like the members also to know we have Mr. Painter, Director of Ledge Finance, for questions. We also have Ms. Megan Wallace, Director of Legislative Legal, for questions. Committee members, do you want a sectional or you want to go into questions? Question. Senator Stedman.
It might be nice, Mr. Chairman, to walk through a sectional. This is kind of a newer stuff for the public, so they grasp what we're talking about here. It shouldn't take too long.
No, Ms. Ms. Shine, walk us through the sectional, please.
Absolutely. So Section 1, which is starting on page 1, line 6, this amends 1965-060A, which moves the Alaska Marine Highway Fund from the general fund to the state treasury. Section 2, starting on page 2, line 6, this adds a new section, 3710-440, which is designating the means by which appropriations from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund are paid back under the fund article, under Article 9, Section 17D of the Constitution of the State of Alaska, as well as defines the following terms for purposes of applying Article 9, Section 17D to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, which would be the general fund definition and unreserved, undesignated general fund balance to be carried forward. The next section, Section 3, is on page 2, starting on line 23, amends AS 3714750A, which moves the Alaska Higher Education Investment Fund from the general fund to the state treasury. Next section is section 4, starting on page 3, line 4. This is a repealed section. It repeals AS 3710-420, a section of law that was broadly invalidated by Hickel v. Cooper. And then section 5, page 3, line 5, is providing for an effective date of June 30th, 2022.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not sure why we're not doing all the funds that can cause problems upcoming. I know that we're waiting to hear from the our legislative auditor on the audit of the Treasury. But just trying to get a better understanding of the number of suitable funds, OMB has a list of 31 and Ledge Finance has a list of 31 suitable funds and OMB has a 41. Which is the correct number, and maybe that's directed to Director Painter, and the difference of those 10 accounts on which ones are suitable, which ones are not.
Mr. Painter, would you please come before the committee and put yourself on the record?
For the record, Alexi Painter, Legislative Finance Division. And Senator Wilson, through the chair, so the legislative finance list is ones that currently have balances that we know about. OMB's list, I think, is a little more expansive. The list that actually really matters is the Division of Finance's list, because they're the ones who execute the sweep. So when we receive the comprehensive financial report, probably in the next few days, we will see the list of funds that were actually swept on June 30th of 2021, and that will be really the list. We're just trying to capture, you know, in our summary, our expectation of the funds that are swept, but in reality, it's that Division of Finance list that is the operative one, and that's the one that we should use going forward.
Okay, and then
follow up,
I guess, maybe to Ms. Shine, then why aren't we doing the other funds that we know may cause some other legal issues for the state of Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, this is, you know, the legislative process. These are the two accounts with communications with the co-chairs, and which we included in the Senate Finance draft. However, you know, it's a deliberative process, and any member can provide an amendment for another account.
I guess as a comment, Mr. Chair, if I could, just I would not like to pick sort of winners and losers in this matter by hand cherry picking. It's either I prefer an all or nothing approach.
Could you repeat that?
I don't want to pick winners or losers and trying to pick out, you know, this fund versus this fund. I believe that we should just take action to either do them all or none.
Thanks for your comments. Further comments, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These two in particular have much meaning to the citizens of Alaska. I understand your position, Senator, but I think these two need to be taken care of as soon as possible, particularly the Alaska Higher Education Fund, because this one has the most funds in it, and to put them aside and get them unsweepable, I think, is something that the people of Alaska are looking forward to. This does not, I don't believe that this picks winners or losers. It picks what programs most affect the people of Alaska at this time. Further items can be determined non-sweepable at a later time, and this legislation does not preclude that. By focusing in on these two particular programs, I think can set the stage for others to follow, but these, I think, are most imminent to be addressed and could less likely bog down the legislation as it proceeds through the process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Steadman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just kind of add a little bit to Senator from Bethel's comments. Dealing with the Marine Highway, we all recognize it's a highly capital-intensive operation that takes years of sinking funds to get the replacement of the ships in place, and also dealing with its major maintenance that has to take place every year. So I would agree with the previous comments that the level of significance rises, or these two issues, the Marine Highway and the education scholarship, rise above the other ones, and we need to take as swift as action as possible.
Senator Olson, did you have a comment, sir?
Yeah, I actually have a number of questions here. I'd like to, as you look at the protection of some of these funds that are potentially sweepable, I guess, and putting them into a separate account, pulling them out of the general fund and making them not available for appropriation, I was wondering whether any other approaches looked at to try and see if we could protect these from the sweep or the non-sweep that may happen when it wasn't reversed?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I'd like to clarify something that might have misspoken. All of these funds would still be available for appropriation. They're not removing them because they're not a dedicated fund. As to other avenues to potentially make funds sweepable or not sweepable, I know that there's another piece, two pieces of legislation, I believe, that are working through the other body. So there are other approaches. This was a pretty pared down one. I know that there's been a lot of question because we've never really defined general fund in the Constitution or in statute. This attempts to do that, to try and to make that Article 9, Section 17 specifically clarified. So that this was one approach, but there are others.
Mr. Chairman, I can continue.
Well,
The big question has to do with realizing that the power cost equalization ruling came from the Superior Court. What happens if this ruling is appealed later on and is overturned?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I'd like to ask legislative legal to probably respond to that question. I know that these are Superior Court decisions aren't published at the same level as Supreme Court decisions, so I know that Megan Wallace is online and she can answer that question more eloquently.
Megan Wallace, good morning.
Good morning, members of the committee. This is Megan Wallace, Legal Services Director. Senator Olson, through the chair, the Alaska Federation of Natives case that you mentioned that found that the PCE fund was not sweepable, while it is a Superior Court decision, that particular case, the state did not seek an appeal to the Alaska Supreme Court. And so it would only be if it was separately challenged in the future. There, of course, there's always some risk of a different court decision in the future because we don't have an Alaska Supreme Court case that sets precedent that lower courts have to follow. But it is our opinion that most lower courts will likely find that prior Superior Court opinion persuasive, even though it's not deemed precedent in any case that relates to sweepability. And we did see that in the more recent Superior Court case that relates to the Higher Education Investment Fund, and the Superior Court in that case specifically pulled out the analysis done in the AFN case with respect to the holding in that case related to the legislature's power to create separate funds. There always is some risk of future litigation, but at this point, all evidence points to that, at least what we're seeing right now is that Superior Court decision will continue to be persuasive to other courts reaching decisions on similar issues.
Mr. Chairman, if I could continue.
Follow up.
Ms. Wallace is on. The Marine Highway System Vessel Fund is specifically cited in Hickel versus Cooper as requiring further appropriations. Do you agree with this approach, and how would this change if it didn't?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the approach, what approach the legislature uses, of course, a policy decision. And as you mentioned in your prior question, in terms of what other approaches might be out there, the one option which is used in this bill, which is to remove funds from the general fund and to put them in separate accounts created by the legislature. Another alternative to make funds avoid the sweep, which was addressed in the Hickel v. Cooper case, is that in Hickel v. Cooper, the court held that funds that did not require further appropriation from the legislature and could be spent without that further appropriation were not subject to the sweep. So an alternative approach could to be refigure some of these statutes to set up a formula or a provision that allowed for payments to be made without further appropriation at a level agreeable or within the with whatever the will of the legislature is. But those are policy decisions in terms of which approach is used.
Just a comment. So, Ms. Wallace, you're agreeing with this, with the the process we're going through right now with this bill. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson,
Olson.
Our office doesn't endorse specific legislation from a policy perspective, but to the extent that this bill uses an approach that has been recognized in recent Superior Court decisions, we would concur that this approach appears to be able to withstand a sweep based on those recent holdings.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let's see. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for Megan. Is there any risk that if we start defining which funds are considered to be outside of the general fund, that the court will say, assume that the legislature was deliberate and created meaningful variation, and assume that the funds that we don't address are considered to be within the general fund?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, you know, it's difficult to answer that question from a general perspective without looking at each specific fund that we could particularly be analyzing in a scenario. I know that's a very lawyerly answer, but it really, you know, any specific challenge or debate would be really specific as to what the language in the enabling statute or law is in terms of what the legislature expressed as the intent of how that particular fund is to be created. From the recent Superior Court decisions, the courts do seem to recognize that the legislature does indeed have the power to determine where and how certain funds are created, including, you know, creating them separate from the general fund. But it, you know, as practical advice, the more specific that the legislature is, the more certainty there is in terms of any debate as to where that fund is created, and if there are particular funds that the legislature wants to ensure are considered either in or outside of the general fund, the legislature could reexamine the enabling statutes for those funds.
Further questions before we go to public comment? Seeing none, we're going to go to the thank you presenters. Ms. Wallace, thank you. We're going to open public testimony, and we're going to go to James Squires in Deltana, rural Deltana. Mr. Squires, put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Good morning. My name is James Squires. I'm from rural Deltana. I oppose SB 224. Each one of you folks took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution in Article 12, Section 5. You have a duty to uphold the spirit and intent of these provisions of the Constitution in order to support and defend it. Article 9, Section 17D is a constitutional check on the size, scope, and footprint of government. In hard times, you can borrow from the CDR, but the Constitution says that in good times, you pay it back. This constitutional tool checks the adventurism of setting up various programs that has our state living beyond its means. Article 9, Section 7 shows its disdain for dedicated funds. You folks think that you can slip around in your version of the letter of the law, but in the eyes of Alaskans, you're violating the spirit and intent of the very Constitution you swore to support and defend. This shores up a baseline dependency that you are a party to creating. You have finally been challenged on this creature that was created called the reverse sweep. That term appears nowhere in statute or in the Constitution and was designed to thwart its spirit and intent. How many times have each of you voted for the reverse sweep? The Superior Court decision on the PCE should have been pushed to the Supreme Court, but it was not. And now you folks are exploiting your perceived loophole to, in essence, if not in fact, create dedicated funds in violation of the spirit of Article 9, Section 7. Please raise your hand if you gave your concurrence for this to be a committee-sponsored bill. Is this bill itself in violation of Alaska Statute 2408060, which requires the concurrence of the majority to introduce a committee-sponsored bill? Alaskans are begging for transparency in a process that has been abused in the past by committee chairs strongholding their members to avoid accountability. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Mr. Cooper in Healy. Mr. Cooper, are you there? Put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Good morning. This is Cyrus Cooper speaking for myself out of Healy. I'm in agreement with the previous caller regarding the matter of 224. Some of the questions that I have revolve around the general fund not being clearly defined. That was articulated by counsel. With that in mind, the legal services director does not give an endorsement on specific legislation and opines that this will not meet scrutiny in the courts. The real question is, where are all the briefs? Where are all the legal determinations that support this? The next question, why are there two funds for this action and the rest of them are being ignored? And really, who is gaining? That's the real question here. Who gains? And the determination that predictability is the focus is very interesting, because we'll pick two funds where we can have predictability and we'll ignore the rest. Senator Hoffman indicated these are two of our important funds to Alaska. Really? Only these two funds. Is it important to him? By the way, where are the numbers of people that have wrote in to you various senators to indicate that these two are particularly important? The reality is they are important because teachers' unions are attached. They are important because the Marine System Union is attached. I've also seen that there's no information, at least that I can gather right now, as to who actually sponsored this bill and what, shall we say, entities are supporting the sponsoring of this bill with these two particular fundings. So, again, the previous caller indicated that transparency is key. Well, not a lot of transparency here when you don't have the legal briefs to support what you're doing that are open and firm. And by the way, the legal briefs that the changes are being statuated against are not, shall we say, in stone. They need to be further evaluated. And that's all I have on this, folks. And again, I'm asking for your transparency and don't make sacred cows. And that's exactly what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody in the room wishing to testify today on SB 224? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Any further discussion before we set the bill aside?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I have a number of other questions for Ms. Cheyenne or whoever else is on.
Sure. Ms. Cheyenne? Senator Olson, do we need to bring Alexi Painter back to the table as well?
I'm not sure. I hope not, but obviously medical education is one of those things that I find near and dear to my heart. And I was wondering, was there ever consideration of looking at the Higher Education Investment Fund in statute and in general to make sure that medical education indeed was protected from sweeps like this so that you'd have a way to make sure that medical students who are so dependent upon the funding that's available wouldn't have their education interrupted?
For the record, this is Erin Schein, staff to co-chair Bishop in the Senate Finance Committee. Through the chair, Senator Olson, I believe this draft does. This ultimately protects the Higher Education Investment Fund from the sweep. Mm-hmm. Therefore, that funding would be there. The legislature would be able to appropriate it in each budget cycle for those WAMI students who are seeking medical education outside of the state of Alaska.
And therefore be protected.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that is my understanding. We can get a legal opinion from Director Wallace, but yes.
The last question, Mr. Chairman, has to do with if you put the separate fund in there, do you think it's adequate to go ahead and make it so it's not sweepable?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I believe using the two Superior Court decisions we have, specifically if I can read, Mr. Chairman, On page 15 of the Short v. Dunleavy, which is the higher education fund, it states that the legislature believes that the program should be funded, it possesses the power to establish the higher education investment fund as a separate fund outside the general fund or to appropriate money for other sources. So yes, I believe it does.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Stegman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for a point of clarification, these funds are still subject to appropriation. They're not locked up. Just the ending year balance rolls forward into the following year, allowing us to have a little endowment for the education and also for the replacement and maintenance of the highly expensive ships that we have. And just so it's clear to the public, it doesn't, again, it does not block from appropriation. The legislature can appropriate all the money out of the funds every year if we so choose.
Thank you. Seeing no further comments from the table, we'll set this bill aside. Our next meeting is tomorrow, March 2nd, 2022, 9 a.m. On the agenda is the order of operations, and Senator Stegman will hold the gavel. Any other questions? Seeing none, we are adjourned at 9:40 a.m.